Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hello, all.
Oh, yes, we're back, Leading Edge Medicine. And good morning, Lynette here, along with Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and Dr. Dan Nelson. All right, so this would be a good spot before we take our next few calls to remind folks that we're in a brand new studio. Leading Edge Medicine is making some huge changes to our radio show. Dr. Mixon, why don't you just kind of take it away?
Oh, hang on one second. Yeah. One second. Okay, I have to say this. It's really actually quite sweet and funny. Oh. I was talking to one of my patients yesterday, and she said, you know, I love listening to you guys on the radio show. And she said she suddenly burst out laughing one day when she was listening, and somebody said to her, why are you laughing? And she said, oh, it's just my doctors. They're nuts. And then she said it, and then she paused for a second, and she said, but you're a good nut.
Oh, that's good.
That's right. I find normal to be grossly overrated anyway, so.
So I told her I would use this on the radio today. Okay. So if you're listening, this one's for you, my dear.
Okay, so we're a bunch of nuts, I understand, right? So.
But good kind.
But chocolate-coated nuts. So.
All right. Well, the show Leading Edge Medicine brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we are here. We have three locations for you. We are in Tacoma, in Linwood, and in Kirkland. And we'd like to find out if you're a patient when you call in, because if you're not, we want you to be. We want you to be healthier. We want you to be able to find solutions to your problems as we're all aging so that we can move forward together, be healthier, be less painful as we're growing older. We want to be what, Dr. Mixon?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and all of that will make you happier.
Oh, definitely. You know it. Absolutely. So join us here at Longevity Medical Clinics, and we have the phone number for you to call. Don't wait. It's important to get in for that free health analysis appointment. We still have that going for you so far. Somebody asked, are we still doing it? Yes, so far, right, doctors?
That's yes, right. Absolutely.
Okay. Here is the number to call to get through. It's 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Make that appointment. Tell them that you want to see us at Longevity, whatever clinic works best for you, the time and the hours, whatever works with your busy schedule. You can come in, meet the doctors, see our beautiful facilities, and take that free test. In fact, why don't you tell us, Dr. Umat, what the two blood tests or the two tests involve? Because it's not scary at all, right?
No, it's one blood test and then the in-body machine. And with the blood test, we look for damage in the bloodstream from sugar, because sugar, when it is in excess, is damaging. And over a three-month period, we get an idea of how much damage you're doing to basically the whole vascular tree and therefore all the internal organs. So this is a snapshot into what's happened to you in the last 3 months, and therefore are you at risk? And the in-body looks at what we were discussing earlier, the skinny fat. What is muscle? Muscle is the currency of aging, and the higher the muscle mass, the better off you are. But as we all grow older, we lose muscle. We lose muscle preferentially, and we tend to save fat. Remember, the body knows to survive, and it needs fat for famine days, and there is no famine coming, and therefore it'll store fat preferentially to muscle, sadly. And so those are the two free tests. But honestly, I feel that they're just a segue into the big blood panel. And you should literally come in thinking you're going to do that blood draw, because that's a $595, and it's a steal for that price, because it's literally over a $2,000 panel that you're getting for $600. Plus, you're getting physician time. With just the two free tests, you just get very limited physician time. They just tell you about what we do, and in Tacoma, Sherry will see you, and she's amazing. But if you do the blood draw, now you have over an hour of physician time with a whole panel that looks at things that are very common, everybody should look at, but nobody does because insurance doesn't allow them to. And so that's when you really want to kind of do risk stratification. You want to go in and say, what is really going on here? And that changes from a snapshot into a whole panel looking at all your different profiles and risk factors, and basically telling you how well are you aging? How well are you getting old? Because we know now that there's tons we can do to help you be better as you get older.
Absolutely. And of course, the goal here is to allow your doctor to get a good look and to give you an idea of what it's going to take to get you where you really want to be.
Yeah. There are some things that we literally know just because of age. We will know what to expect. But there are some others that completely surprise us. The men, number of times I've picked up high PSA counts in men, I've just forgotten now. People come and go, why didn't my doctor tell me I've been running high? Or high cholesterol. Or they'll go, well, I knew that it was high. I just didn't have any idea of the implications, because nobody really sat down and told you, because all they'll do is say, oh, well, here's your statin, it'll control the counts. Well, the point is that we're not controlling a count. We're not looking at LDL and saying we need to get this better. We're really looking at all of you. What did that LDL do to your blood vessels? What did it do to your liver? How damaged is the rest of the vascular tree? And what do we need to do to get it back? Because we can. There are a certain amount of damage that we can actually reverse. And so that's what we're looking at.
You know, one of the things you alluded to briefly in that talk was that the biggest loss we've had in modern medicine is doctors no longer teach patients about their diseases.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the doctors are on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. And they've got to get out of this room and in the next room in a hurry.
That's right.
Otherwise, they're not meeting the markers their clinic requires them to hit.
And the insurance carrier needs them
to make. So they've got to, they got to generate so many patients per day.
Yes.
And that means you're limited to how much time you can spend with each one. But the word doctor means teacher.
Yeah.
It's what the whole word means. Doctore is the teacher, the professor.
Right.
And the primary thing, the most important thing that a doctor can do is teach you and help you to understand your disease.
Right.
But you can't do that in a 6 or 7 minute visit.
Yeah. You know what I like, and maybe, I don't know, it's just passing the buck down, is in our new EMR now, we all have access to articles, and we can link those articles to the patient and go, hey, go read this. This will tell you about your disease. So now what we're doing is putting the responsibility on the patient.
Okay.
And yes, it's nice to have that, because you're not going to remember everything the doctor says anyways. Yeah. But remember, every time you are seen by a physician, that physician is working behind, after hours, when you are not watching them, completing your record and your notes, because that requirement is not done during the office day. It just isn't. So everybody that doesn't give you the time and you go, well, they're in a rush, they basically blew me off. Well, that provider is actually working so much more than you really know, because they just can't get it all done and see all the patients in the day.
But our doctors are supposed to spend a full hour
with
each patient.
But even, Jerry, even with that 1 hour, I used to think, how on earth can you spend 1 hour and still not finish? But I'm finding now that even after that 1 hour, I have to spend more time afterwards to finish my documentation. And that's primarily because now the patient can see it, but also because I want to remember what I talked about.
The other thing, too, is, and the doctors are asking me for more time. They're wanting to go to an hour and a half per patient.
Yeah.
But that means that we drop from 6 and 7 patients a day to 4 patients a day, and that means we have to raise the prices to keep from going broke. Mm. And so I'm resisting the hour and a half visit Because if we go to that, it means I've got to kick the price up.
Yeah. No, what I tell our providers is that they need to do their look at the patient chart and the labs before the patient walks in. And they need to know what is the most important detail they need to discuss. And usually it's one or two things that are very critical that they must point out, because more than that is going to be hard for the patient to remember. The rest needs to be documented, but it's always complete the review and give a quick summary. And in that summary, say the most important thing from today's lab review is 1, 2, and 3. And if you focus on these, then we'll pick up the rest at the next quarterly review. Because you cannot do everything. Sometimes it's about senescent cells. Sometimes it's about heart health. Sometimes about memory. Sometimes it's pain related. And sometimes it's because something happened in life that we did not anticipate. So whatever it may be, and sometimes I just have to wait for the patient to say. They'll say, hey, I just got out of the hospital. So then the conversation is very different. And so you have to let the patient tell you what is most important, but then we have to do our own homework before we see the patient and know in the labs what is important. So when they say something, go, you know what? I got a clue of this in the labs. So let me tell you what I saw, and then you put it all together for them.
Yep. All right. We're going to take another quick break, and then we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. But want you to know, here is that number to call to become a patient at Longevity. The number is 1-866-86-YOUNG. Now, this is to become a patient at Longevity, one of our three clinics, Kirkland, Tacoma, Linwood. And, you know, at Longevity, we want you to know that we work for you, the patient, yep, not for the insurance companies, right, doctors?
Absolutely.
And they're providing leading-edge medicine and services designed to enhance longevity and the quality of your life. Wouldn't you like to know if you were at risk for things like cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and so much more? Find out what's going on in your body. Come in for that free health analysis. Do the lab work and find out where your body is and what could be happening potentially to you and what longevity can help do for you. That number again is 1-866-86-YOUNG, and online it's lmclinic.com. That's where you go for more information on longevity. 1-866-86-YOUNG is the number, or you can go to lmclinic.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back. We have Dick from Federal Way next on Leading Edge Medicine.
And in my heart, you'll always stay forever young.
Okay.
We can't do that to you, right, Dr. Nixon?
No. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, come on,
forever
Jerry.
Forever feeling young and
yes,
alive. There
yeah,
we go.
That's right. You know, I want to be 77 going on 32.
So. Well, I do tell
33
everybody.
33 is too damn old.
No, but all jokes aside, you are the inspiration for all of us, Jerry. That, and I use that in my conversations with all
Absolutely.
Of my patients. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
I mean, there aren't many people like you who not only lead a good, vibrant life even now, but also you're an inspiration to others, especially all of us in the clinic, for
oh,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Then I tell all of my patients, like, you know, that's the type of life you want to live. Like my thing that I say is die young at a very old age.
That's right.
And in order to do that, yes, for some very lucky people, it can happen by chance. But those are very few and far between.
Yes.
For the rest of us, we have to work very hard at it.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, there's a difference in living a long time and being old.
Yeah.
And, you know, old is almost a judgment call. Mm. Old is your memory is going, your joints are creaking, you're getting weaker, you fatigue more quickly, your libido has faded away, you know, your brain is slowing down, your memory is starting to go. These are all characteristics of being old, whereas if you have lived a long time, but you still can run and jump and sing and dance and, you know, cavort into the night, and you're strong and fast and smart and sexy, and just because you've lived a long time, that's a difference between being a healthy person with a long life and being an old person. And so yeah, we want you to live as long as you can, but we want you to live as long as you can.
Absolutely. I mean, being old is considered being normal, right? So that's why nobody's going to tell you, hey, but there's an alternative here. You can be old and yet vibrant. And so that's the big difference.
Yeah. You know, I mean, right now I've got this injury I'm recovering from. Mm-hmm. And it's driving me crazy because I still wake up at 5 o'clock every morning. But instead of having my breakfast and going out and hitting the trail for 3 miles, I have my breakfast. And then I can only walk a ways, you know, and I can't run. I can't jump. I can't cavort. I love to be able to sing and dance, you know, and all of a sudden with this injury, I'm now for probably another 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, but still,
I'm suddenly feeling old.
You're in the office every day, still before all of us.
I'm there by 6:30, 7 o'clock most mornings.
You beat me today. Yeah,
but but that's because with the injury, I feel best in the morning, and as the day goes on, the pain starts to build.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so I'm getting my 8 or 9 hour work day, but by the end of the day, it's hurting. Yeah. So I've got to recover from that.
Yes. And we're wishing you, and you're doing.
And it will. Oh, no.
You're not as fast as you were when you were 25.
I'm recovering day by day, week by week, but I'm still guessing I got another 3 or 4 weeks to really get back to where I was before I got hurt. Nevertheless, I'm doing everything I know how to do to improve that and to get those repairs as fast as I can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But let's face it, Dr. Mixon is mortal. He is subject to injuries, more often injuries than disease, quite frankly.
There you go.
But that's right. In part because I use my body heavily.
Well, and, you know, there's something that actually I learned from my mother-in-law, and she had a lot of medical problems, but she didn't have illnesses. There's a difference. You can have a medical diagnosis, but how you deal with it is up to you, really.
Yeah.
And people have illnesses, people have diagnoses, but how do you manage your life despite that? And so that's really, you know, circumstance, chance, what we
see. My mother had both colon cancer and breast cancer, and at the end what killed her was she had 5 tumors in her brain that we have no idea where they came from. But my father had prostate cancer, 2 heart attacks, 2 strokes, and the last 10 or 15 years of his life, he was wheelchair bound and could not even wipe his own rear end when he used the toilet. I don't want to go there. So I'm about the age at which he collapsed physically. I'm nowhere near collapsing physically.
No, you can just walk 3.5 miles or 5 miles every morning.
But I got to get it back so I can run it.
So you can be back to it.
And I shall. I will be running my 3 miles instead of walking my 3 miles pretty soon.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we've got a call for Dr. Nelson from Pro Ortho. Let's go to Dick from Federal Way. Good morning, Dick. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. I appreciate taking my call. About a month ago, I was out walking. I had a heart attack 3 years ago, and the doctor told me I needed to go out and walk. And so I typically did about 3 miles a day. And on the return trip, I fell. And I'm not sure why I fell. I just sort of, for a second, lost consciousness or something. I fell forward and got a pretty good sized cut in my right hand on the concrete and scun up both my knees. But my left hand, I apparently tried to stop the call and took most of the weight in my shoulder. And that was pretty painful for quite a while. And I can raise my shoulder okay now, but I can't lift anything. The x-rays, a dozen or more x-rays, trying to find whether something was broken, but the bones were not broken. Finally, the last doctor I saw had it couldn't have been an x-ray because it showed the shoulder
the ligaments?
Rotator cuff.
Yes, sir. It was probably an MRI.
And clearly the rotator cuff was separated from its base. And I tore that rotator cuff about 30 years ago, and it healed over a 3 or 4 month period. But my question is there any chance this stem cell treatment would do anything for a rotator cuff that's completely separated at the bottom?
Right.
Do you understand my question?
Yeah. Dick, are you having any pain right now associated with the rotator cuff injury?
Well, not unless I try to lift something above my head, something with weight.
But you can.
But I can lift my arm straight up.
Okay, you can do a full arc, lift your arm straight, point to the ceiling with your arm.
Yes, I can go to the ceiling with my arm. Yeah, I have a little pain when I try to lift something with it, or if I try to.
So, I mean, the short answer is, if it's a full thickness rotator cuff tear, it's stem cell probably won't help. It's good for kind of medium tears, but even a rotator cuff surgical repair, I mean, 40% of major tears that are repaired surgically will fail over time. So that's not exactly a great answer either. I'm not sure that I would love to look at the x-rays and MRI, because I'm not sure your pain is coming from the rotator cuff. I would look at other areas like the AC joint and the glenohumeral joint. These are, you know, the big three that I call them: rotator cuff area, AC joint, glenohumeral joint. That's when we do stem cell, usually inject all three of those at a minimum. Invariably, people will say, well, I got a rotator cuff injury, but if you look at the x-rays, they have arthritis. They have more than one thing going on. And sometimes it's more, you know, they might have some impingement. They can have, you know, glenohumeral joint, just, you know, loss of cartilage there. So it's usually the rotator cuff is one feature. But, you know, a lot of people, once the initial injury after rotator cuff tear, they don't really have much pain. Yeah. There's other things. Dr. Mixon?
Well, you know, I had, as I told you, I'm subject to injuries because I use my body heavily. And I indeed tore the glenohumeral, the AC. All three.
Is it a good story?
Yeah, I had three partial tears. And you went in and, you know, you let it cool off for several weeks. And then you went in and injected stem cells into all three of my tears. And it healed completely, and I use that shoulder, you know, lift, push, pull, do, you know, sit up or push ups, and, you know, lift weights over my head, no pain at all. So he was able to use stem cells to get my three ligament tears to heal totally.
And I will say that I have been, you know, I've been doing this stem cell stuff for about 10 years now, and I never would have predicted. Shoulders, far and away, are best responders overall. I see some pretty messed up shoulders, and in spite of that, I mean, I got to believe, and we're tracking all this data, but shoulders, and I think Sarah, my PA, would agree that, you know, our success rate has got to be over 90%. You know, knees, second place, probably 75, 80%. Hips are in third place for reasons that are not clear.
You had to inject my hip twice.
Yeah, so... But, you know, then I tell people if they got really bad arthritis in the hip, I mean, if you're going to get a joint replacement, that's the one to get, because you're up and walking the day of surgery. That's just a little side note that shoulders seem to do amazingly well.
If you've got MRIs, what you need to do is to have those MRIs sent to Dr. Nelson so that he can see you, examine you, and see your MRIs. Then he can tell you what he thinks can or cannot be done. So, you know, here on the radio, we're pretty limited. We're trying to make guesstimates based on what you tell us. But if he can actually see that and do a physical exam on you, then he can give you a very good idea of what can and can't be done and what the odds are of good recovery.
Okay. That's fair.
All right.
So I'd say, Lynette, can you give this gentleman Dr. Nelson's phone number so that he can call and get an appointment?
Absolutely, I can. Are you ready for this? Dick, do you have a pencil and paper ready to go?
Yes.
By chance? Okay, so what you want to do, Dick, is contact Dr. Dan Nelson. He is a pro ortho, and I'm going to give you his phone number first. That number is 425-823-4000. All right, 425-823-4000. And you can also reach him on his website, which is danielnelsonmd.com, and you can get a lot of information there. So hopefully that is helpful for you, Dick, and you've got that information for Dr. Dan Nelson and his team at Pro Ortho. All right, thank you for the call, Dick. We will be back with Ann and Don in just a moment. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Dan Nelson, our special guest today. And we have Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We'll be right back after this.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. See all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be bright sunshine.
You know this one, Dr. Mixon. You can start singing along. Oh, good morning. And we are back with more Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and today, special guest doctor, Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. Taking another phone call, this time headed to Graham with Ann on the line. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, everybody.
How can we help?
How can we help you, Ann?
Well, I guess I'll get right to the point so you can hopefully help some other callers, too. But I have been experiencing lower back pain and pain in my hips for several years. Uh-huh. And I finally got in to see a rheumatologist, and they got an MRI done. And they are now suspecting that I have ankylosing spondylitis, I believe.
Yeah. Yes.
And they are recommending that I do a trial of Humira. And I was wondering if you all had any advice for me. I'm a little concerned because I guess it messes with your immune system.
Oh, it certainly does.
And I've always felt I have a fairly good immune system. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, ankylosing spondylitis is a degenerative disease, and it's an autoimmune condition.
Which is why the Humira.
Yeah, and HLA-B27, so
right.
Positive. So she, I mean, it's going to be progressive if she doesn't do anything about it.
Right. Yeah, HLA-27 is a genetic test that they do to help diagnose this disease. Usually, instead of low back, it's seen more with the upper spine and neck.
Yeah, it causes stiffness and decreases range.
Well, it actually starts, as the spine degenerates, they start bending forward and forward and forward.
And also neck range of motion decreases, so
yes.
You can't turn your head all the way.
Yeah. And these are those folks you see on the street that are basically looking at the ground as they walk because mm-hmm. they're hunched over. And, of course, they want to avoid that for you, which is why the Humira, which damps down the responsiveness of your immune system. The downside of Humira is that it damps down all of your immune system. It's a tumor necrosis factor alpha is what it is. It's an inhibitor. Tumor necrosis factor, because it causes tumors to die. Okay, this is something your body produces to kill cancers and to also help you fight infections. And so if you're on this drug long term, your risk of cancer goes up. A lot of hematologic cancers, lymphomas, leukemias, sorts of things. But also, your resistance to all cancers, such as breast cancer and so on, goes down. You also become less able to fight systemic infections. Bacteria, viruses, funguses, all infections are a bigger problem with a TNF-alpha inhibitor like Humira. So Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine, remember, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. This is a drug that can help a lot. It can also hurt a lot. And so it's a drug that you need to be monitored carefully. You need doctors, that use it often so they know exactly what the side effects and risk factors are associated. This is a drug that I do not think primary care doctors should be writing, but you're seeing a rheumatologist, so you're seeing the right kind of doctor to use this drug. That's the good news. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Is there any sort of a test that can be run to check to see if you have too much of that tumor necrosis factor in your system?
You can measure TNF-alpha, yeah. It's a blood test. We can measure the amount of TNF-alpha in your blood. But it's not the TNF-alpha that's causing the problem,
right,
per se.
Right.
Okay. It's just that tumor necrosis factor is one of the things you make less of when you are on Humira, because it's damping down much of your whole immune system, which is why all kinds of infections become more of a risk. All kinds of cancer risks start going up with this drug. So I'm not sure what I would do with a TNF-alpha marker. But yeah, it can be measured.
I think the important thing is to measure the disease factors, the HLA-B27, and if there's any autoimmune condition, and how high are those autoimmune markers.
Right.
And then after the drug is started, whether those markers are improving and diminishing or not.
Yeah.
And if they are, that means then the disease is being controlled. That's what you're trying to look for, to control the rate of progression of this significantly debilitating medical condition that can limit joint movement and cause a lot of pain and disability.
Right. And if you want to follow, I'd be following, instead of the TNF, I'd be following your anti-nuclear antibody. Anti-nuclear antibody just tells us about your ability, or how many, what your autoimmune levels are.
Yeah.
Elevated nuclear antibody studies will say, yeah, there's a lot of autoimmune issues going on here.
Right, and there are some very specific ones that the rheumatologist will obviously check for.
But that's the screener. That's the initial level. And then from there on, depending on the pattern, is it a speckled or a solid pattern, then that'll tell you, what areas that you check next. So, but your rheumatologist knows all of this. So, like I said, you're with the right kind of doctor, and this is one that you need to simply follow up carefully with your physician, follow his instructions very carefully, because you're using some potent drugs that have a lot of benefits, but also a lot of risks associated with them.
Okay, yeah, I did test positive for that gene.
HLA-B27?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And
it runs in families.
Uveitis.
Okay. Yeah. And the HLA-B27 runs positive in families.
So this is a genetics test you probably ought to get your kids and grandkids screened for, just for safety's sake.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your input.
You're welcome, ma'am.
And very good luck
to
you.
Help.
Yeah.
Aww.
Wish you all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for the call, Anne. We're headed to Des Moines. We have Don on the line. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Don.
How are you guys doing? You sound great.
Good.
Thank you, sir. We're feeling pretty darn good.
I have a neat question, but before I get to the question, I want to compliment Dr. Nelson. I had shoulder surgery approximately a year and a half ago. Before I saw Dr. Nelson, I saw two orthopedic surgeons in the area, one who advertises extensively on the radio. He took an x-ray and met with me for about 15 minutes. Oh, yeah, we can fix it. We'll do stem cell at $10,600, and you'll be good to go. That didn't sit well with me, so I had a second opinion, and he recommended total shoulder replacement. That kind of took me by surprise. Then I saw Dr. Dan Nelson. And he informed me, well, you have three massive tears. Stem cell's not going to reattach him. And then he referred me to Dr. Koo within his team. And a year and a half later, I have total flexibility. My shoulder is recovering. So thank you, Dr. Nelson. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's good to hear. I'm glad that you... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm glad to hear that things have turned out well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Dr. Kuz, he is our shoulder guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, fundamentally, I mean, you basically turned down business to do what was the right thing. So I genuinely appreciate that.
That's one of the things I have always liked about Dr. Nelson is he doesn't accept patients that he can't help. You know, he gives you an honest evaluation, and if he can help, he does. But if you need someone else, he's got a long Rolodex of people that are expert in each little sub area, and he kicks you off to them.
Yeah, you know, like an artist. I don't even have a scar on my shoulder.
That's awesome. I will say I do have an instructor, a professor a long time ago, who told me about the yo mama rule.
Yo mama.
Oh. Right?
What is that?
You know
that?
Is this, how do you know my family?
Well, those who don't know, the yo mama rule is you never recommend anything for your patient that you wouldn't recommend for
yourself.
Your mama.
So that's kind of what I live by, and it's, I will say, has served me well. It's kind of like telling the truth. The truth is so much easier.
As long as you just tell the truth, you never have to try to remember which lies you told to whom.
Yeah. Easier.
So the truth is simple. Just do it.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, I have a quick question on my knees.
Sure.
So I started in the recovery process. I started running and doing the activities that I normally do, but my knees started to get sore. So I had a PRP injection in my right knee probably 3 months ago, and then another PRP injection in my left knee probably, I don't know, a month ago. And it's not as sore as it used to be. I'm not sure how I should proceed. I really didn't want to go through another round of physical therapy. What would you recommend?
For a next step, were you getting those done with us, the PRP done, or
yes,
elsewhere?
Yes, both of them with at your clinic.
Okay. So, and PRP is very useful, and, you know, sometimes we have to add certain things to it. Sometimes we'll add hyaluronic acid. You know, there's kind of a recipes that we kind of pick and choose. If something's not working first round, you know, what can we do to enhance the PRP? And, you know, that's probably... Now, I tell patients, and hopefully told you, that, you know, sometimes when it comes to PRP injections in the knee in particular, that a series of three is probably not out of the question. You know, we do those one at a time, obviously, but, you know, a series of three might be what somebody will need over a period of, you know, 6 months or whatever. So... but there's other things we can tweak, and depending on where exactly the pain is coming from when you're having pain. So, again, it's one of those evaluations where if we're not getting the satisfactory results, what can we do to enhance that? And the list of what we can do is pretty long, so it's hard for me.
Let me kick some of those. You're at Proliance, but you're not getting the PRP from Dr. Nelson. Is that right?
No, he is.
I am.
He
okay.
His PA has administered it to me.
Okay. So Sarah, Sarah's very good.
Sarah is good. But the other question is...
shoulder and knee.
Okay. See, the PRP, those platelets that he's concentrated put in there, have 9 different growth factors in them. And so they're potent. They're very potent anti-inflammatories, and there are some growth factors in there. But... it's one of those you might want to have reviewed and see, should you add some stem cells on top of the PRP?
Well, definitely. I mean, that would probably be, I mean, the big gun in this discussion would be stem cell. And sometimes I'll leave that up to the patient if they want to try the PRP first, because it's less expensive. It's fairly quick. Mm-hmm. Stem cells, you know, more of a process.
Even the stem cells, you know, I heard... what was that price you were quoted for the stem cells once? About $10,000-something?
$10,600 from Dr. Mark, I think, is okay. Anderson.
And so he's, you know, $10,600. And last time I checked, you were down around what? six or seven?
6,500 is our standard.
6,500, yeah. So, you know, you're talking about a $4,000 difference.
Plus, we routinely will do a PRP booster after 6 weeks. So it's...
So $6,500 includes the stem cells and the PRP 6 weeks up the road.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So okay. I think it's pretty darn good value myself.
It's the best price I've heard in the area.
Yeah. Dan. So you know I've resisted temptations to raise prices just because and Dr. Mix and I have talked about it. We still want to be able to reach the common man, so to speak, and get without pricing a lot of those folks kind of out of the market. And so I wrestle with this. My costs keep going up, but...
You haven't passed it on to the patients
Have yet. Not passed it on.
Sooner or later, so get in and get it done.
Yeah, that's the bottom line is you might want to consider that before the end of the year, because I have a hunch my CPA wife might be leaning on me more and more towards the end of the year, like, hey, you got to do something about this.
I understand.
Do not let the MBAs run your business.
No.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
But in this case, he's married to the CPA, there's a level of happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
She sees the income dropping because costs go up and price doesn't. Sooner or later, she says, hey, hubby, get your butt in gear.
Right, yeah. So, we appreciate the call,
by virtue of the fact that the PRP did ameliorate it somewhat, I mean, that's a good sign, right?
That is a good sign. Yes, sure.
And the PRP, even if you went to stem cell done, it's not like the PRP was a wasted effort. It's still,
it's decreasing inflammation.
Right, decreasing inflammation. There are the growth factors that I do also help kind of keep the repair response going.
Many times it's the first line of therapy, right? So you begin with the least amount that'll get away and get the job done. And then if that's not enough, then you build on it.
Correct.
That makes sense. And that's why I selected PRP rather than going through the physical therapy and then the MRI. That would have cost, the combination of those two treatments would have cost more than the PRP shot. So I just went directly for the PRP because of the benefit derived from my shoulder surgery.
Yep.
All right.
Agreed.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thanks for the call,
sir. All right, thank you, Don, for the call. Headed to Auburn, we have Mary on the line. Thank you for your patience, Mary, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hi. I have an issue with my shoulder, and I've been diagnosed with having arthritis in it, my left shoulder, and I have had an injection in there of cortisone, I think it was. First time I had it, it worked really well for about a year. And then I had onset of it again, and it was re-injected, but it hasn't helped. And I'm just wondering if some other, maybe stem cells or something, or do you ever use those for arthritis?
Great question. And this is very typical. And I don't know if we talked about it. I think we did refer earlier to stem cell in the shoulder, which I've been very pleasantly surprised how well it works. And I kind of off the Cuff said, our success rate for stem cells for shoulders probably exceeds 90%. It's been remarkable. So your story, Mary, is very typical. You got a cortisone injection, which helped for a year, and then you had a repeat injection, didn't really help that much. So I tell people, you're kind of going back to the well that's already been emptied as far as...
Well, the other problem is cortisone actually causes cartilage and ligaments to get weaker.
Right.
Cortisone is the most potent anti-inflammatory on the market. So if you've got an inflammatory change, it helps. It decreases the pain. Because essentially all pain is triggered by inflammation. Mm-hmm. But...
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Well, the PRP and stem cells are what you want to use to heal the underlying problems.
Yeah. Well, my husband saw Dr. Nelson a few years back, and he did that super glue in his... spine, and he had great success with that. So I've been waiting for him to be on the phone so I could call.
So he had the kyphoplasty, the bone cement in the spine. Is that
yes? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was marvelous.
No, that's a very gratifying procedure for patients come in terrible pain and they often leave
really
almost pain free.
Yeah. Mm.
for compression fractures.
Compression fractures.
Osteoporotic compression fractures.
Okay.
We do it in the office. It's a 45-minute procedure, and it's like... Percutaneous kyphoplasty. We put a big jam sheeting needle in the bone and put polymethyl methacrylate cement in.
Okay.
And it's, I mean, there's a couple steps. You have to put a balloon tamp
in. I called it super glue.
So that's fine, super glue. That's pretty much the same thing. But that's a.
Well,
that's
anyway,
a
that's
really good to know, because it's a very painful condition and
it's
very common. Yes.
And the morbidity morbidity and mortality associated with compression fractures is worse than a hip fracture.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, it was her husband, because.
Yeah.
Possibly that's a woman's problem.
Women's fracture, yeah.
You know, women lose their
testosterone
and low estrogen, and those bones thin out,
right.
And compression fractures happen.
But, you know, we've been saying that men are experiencing low hormonal loads, and we're seeing more and more men with osteopenia and osteoporosis at younger and younger ages.
And that's, of course,
we'll start seeing more and more compression fractures in men, which is unfortunate.
Right.
Okay. Well, anyway, I wanted to ask you about that because my insurance won't cover it, but it didn't cover him either, but it was a miracle. And so I was going to, if it would be something useful, I was going to try and see if I could get an appointment with you, but I don't know if I can or not because I understand you're not taking any new patients.
Where did you hear that? That's not true.
I referred a couple people to you.
Huh. No.
And then they tried to get in.
They may have to wait a bit. I mean, you know, we do have a...
Well, I don't know. That was the information that came back to me that you weren't taking new patients. So that... Maybe it's idle gossip that they did that.
There's a lot of that going around about me. So, yeah, you got to pick and choose.
But among all the gossip I hear about him, that's probably the least damaging.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought I would. I waited for every day, every Saturday. I've been waiting for a while now. And this morning was the morning when I heard you were going to be on.
Oh my! Your heart for.
I'll tell you what. Call his office again. Set up an appointment and say you talked to him on the radio and he said to get you right in.
And don't hang up till you get a satisfactory answer. There you go.
There we go. Okay.
Now you heard it from the boss.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, at least it's a Burton opinion. So. All right. So if I come in and get an appointment, I should bring those x-rays that I previously had.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Great. All right. Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Welcome.
All right.
You know, this is related to the advice I have sometimes given to people that tell me their doctor rushes in and doctor leaves before they get a chance to ask their questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I said, if you've got that kind of doctor... When he comes in the room, scoot your chair over in front of the door. Sit in it and do not move until your questions are answered.
That's funny. Yeah, and what I'm hearing now is that patients control so much, and the mantra is, the patient will see you now, doctor.
Well, you know what? I know that the reality is, under Medicare and most insurance plans, the doctor actually works for the insurance company,
right.
Not the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're providing services to the insurance company's patients.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor needs to work for the patient, and the insurance company should also work for the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So the patient should be the boss. And if either the doctor or the insurance company are not meeting your needs, you need to change doctors and insurance companies.
Mm.
You know,
right.
I had a previous insurance company that did not cover you. And so I changed insurance companies.
Mm.
You know, I called the clinic and I asked, what insurance companies do you cover?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I picked my insurance company because they covered my doctor,
mm-hmm.
not my doctor because the insurance company, picked them. That's wrong. Pick your doctors first. Then get insurance that covers the doctors you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But then make sure the doctor works for you, not for the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And if that involves being a little bit pushy and uppity, so be it.
Right. No, well said, Dr. Mixon. That is one of my pet peeves. This doctor-patient relationship goes back 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years.
Yes, Hippocrates.
Yeah, so we're talking about anything that's almost a near sacred institution.
Yes. You,
a doctor talking to a patient, and that now if the doctor has conflicts of interest in that he's really trying to keep the cost of the insurance company down, that's really, that's not how it should be.
You know, one of the things that has bothered me for years, in Washington State, doctors, only licensed medical practitioners can own a medical clinic, except hospitals and insurance companies can own medical clinics too. An insurance company has no business owning a medical clinic. The doctor should not work directly for the insurance company because the guy who's writing the doctor's paycheck is in charge. It should be illegal for an insurance company to own a medical clinic. They should, no doctor should work for an insurance company directly.
Absolutely agree, 100%.
All right. Wow. And with that, that is our last call. We had a couple that were waiting. We will push those to our next show. This is another edition of Leading Edge Medicine in our brand new studio here at the Longevity Kirkland facility. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and our guest doctor today, Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. And I'd like to give you his phone number if you'd like to reach him and his amazing team. Sarah work. Sarah, what is Sarah's role? She is the PA.
She's a physician assistant.
Physician assistant. Okay. And we love her. We just call her amazing. So if you'd like to get more information on Dr. Dan Nelson, Sarah, and the team at Pro Ortho, here's your number. It's 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000. And also online, go to danielnelsonmd.com. All right, that's the show for today. We will be back live in the studio next week. On behalf of the doctors, I'm Lynette, and this is Leading Edge Medicine. See you next time.